going to ask you to take your Bible and turn with me to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 12, Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12, and we'll begin reading at verse 17, and we're going to read through verse 22, Proverbs 12, verses 17 to 22. Proverbs 12, verse 17. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. There is that speaketh lies, there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, but to the counselors of peace there is joy. There shall no evil happen to the just, but the wicked shall be filled with mischief. Lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. I want to take you back to verse 17. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. I want to talk to you this evening about the logic of truth. The logic of truth. Let me just preface it this way. There's a shortage of truth in our life, in our world today, and to the point that many people, I think, have trouble discerning what is truth and what isn't. You'll remember the story of how Jesus stood before Pontius Pilate, and Pilate asked him, "What is truth?" Well, it's a question people should ask. What is truth? The thing Pilate failed to realize at that moment was that he was looking truth in the face when he asked the question. And that's how it is with so many people. They can look squarely at truth and not recognize it. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for blessing us. Thank you that we have opportunity to be together again. Now, Lord, as we look into your word, help us, guide us by your Spirit. Help us, Lord, to be people who are open to the truth and not susceptible to the lie. Father, just ask that you'll direct in all that we do. Forgive us anything that would stand in the way of your blessing. And Lord, again, save any soul that hears us who is lost and encourage the saved. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Topic tonight is somewhat conceptual, and that's not always what we do here, but I think it's important because we are faced with a problem here, as I said earlier, a shortage of truth. We live in an age where lies and deceit are commonplace. Identity theft occurs daily. Maybe you've had your identity stolen. What a unpleasant experience that is, and it can cause major problems. It can cause legal issues. It can hurt you financially. It can hurt you in many ways. And no, I'm not advertising a product that will help you with it. Fraud is perpetrated constantly. There are people who will tell you just exactly what you want to hear in order to get whatever it is that they want to get from you. We live in an age of deceit. It is as Isaiah wrote of his day, in transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, judgment is turned away backward and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth. And he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. That's Isaiah 59, verses 13 to 15. What I want to submit to you this evening is, and it'll help you somewhat to recognize what is true and what isn't. The basis for truth is God. That's simple. Jesus said, "I am the truth." The basis for truth is God, and then in our hands God's word. Anything that runs afoul of God's word or contradicts God's word is not truth. I was having a conversation with somebody just yesterday, and they said what I've heard, and I'm sure most of you have heard many times, was so many contradictions in the Bible. I wasn't trying to be humorous with the person. I wasn't trying to be insulting to them, but I said this. I said, well, I've been studying the Bible for 53 years, and I haven't found the first one. And I haven't. But there is logic to the truth. Lying and falsehoods, deceit and fraud, always illogical. What do you mean by that? Well, according to Merriam-Webster's dictionary, one of the definitions of the word logic is this: interrelation or sequence of facts or events which seen as inevitable or when seen as inevitable or predictable. In other words, truth always follows a reasonable and understandable order. The opposite of that would be non sequitur. Non sequitur, the same dictionary defines that as a conclusion or statement that does not logically follow from the previous argument or statement. In other words, it's not in order. It doesn't follow. It doesn't make sense. It's not reasonable. You came to a conclusion that doesn't fit. So I submit to you that there's logic to truth, and you'll find that. If you're having trouble following something that somebody's telling you, or if they tell the thing to you and then they tell it to you on another occasion, it's not quite the same as it was before, that should raise a question mark. That could cause you to wonder if what you're hearing is actually real or not. Now, to be sure, people can change details in telling something, or they can forget something. We're not discounting that. But this passage that we're looking at will help us to discern the logic of truth. First of all, in verse 17, truth is contrasted with lying. Look at it, if you will. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. Truth, again, is reality. It does follow logical order. It makes sense. It's understandable. It does not need to be corrected. It doesn't need to be corrected because it was right the first time. It is a statement of what actually is presently or what has actually taken place. Therefore, truth is the expression of righteousness. That's what our verse says. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness. By contrast, says a false witness shows deceit. A false witness is one whose words lead you away from truth. They may do it from many different motivations. It might be to lure you into doing something that they want you to do. There could be other motivations. But a false witness will lead you away from truth. Their words will always eventually be non sequitur. That isn't always immediately evident. And the reason it isn't always immediately evident is there are some people who have made an absolute art out of lying. They can lie to you, look you in the eye, and make it sound reasonable and logical, and you will believe it until you find out that it isn't true. I knew a fellow years ago, and it was sad in many ways what happened with him. He was a very, very likable person. He had one of those personalities that when you met him, you liked him immediately. You'd known him for 30 seconds, you already liked him. Somehow, he didn't seem to realize that people liked him for who he really was. So he would tell terrible lies to get people to like him. Well, what happened? Well, what happened was when people found out he was a liar, they didn't like him. You see, that's what happens with the liar. Eventually, he's found out. Eventually, the truth comes across. You never have to try to be sure that your words match what you've said before if you told the truth the first time. You don't have to back up. You don't have to cover up. You don't have to correct it. If you told things as they are or as they have been, then there's nothing to correct. Truth will prevail. Look at verse 18, if you will. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Lies pierce like a sword. They pierce the heart. They pierce the mind. They pierce the soul. They destroy relationships. They wound the spirit. They destroy societies. They destroy great friendships and marriages and homes. So many times I've come across people who were just liars, and some of them habitually liars. It's, again, very sad situation, because there's never a need for that. So truth brings healing. Lies pierce the soul. And then verse 19, the lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. And what it's saying there is those who tell the truth live forever, and those who lie do not. Or another way of saying the same thing is truth is eternal, lies are temporary. Well, I'd like to hear some more scripture on that. I'm glad you asked. I was going to give you some. Revelation 21:8, listen carefully, talking about eternity. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You know, I hear people say, I don't hear any fire and brimstone preachers anymore. Well, you just heard it. There it is. All liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. What is the second death? What is this lake of fire? It is eternal separation from God and everything that ever was related to God and anything and everyone else you ever had relations with. Let me illustrate that for you just a little bit. A lot of people make jokes about hell. They do. Now, you say, is the lake of fire hell? Well, technically, no, but in our thinking, it is. And what do you mean by that? Well, hell already exists. The lake of fire is out in eternity, but death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. So then it becomes hell. But I've heard people try to joke about it. Oh, I don't care if I go to hell. I'll take an air conditioner. I went to hell once. They kicked me out for selling ice water. They're making jokes of it. But the one that I think is saddest of all is I've heard so many people say, I don't care if I go to hell, all my friends will be there. Wow, we're going to have a party. What we read in the scripture indicates that the soul in hell is alone. If your friends are there, you won't be partying with them. You won't, in all likelihood, be with them. Be inside of them. If you remember in Luke 16, where the rich man is crying out to Father Abraham, and he says to Father Abraham, send Lazarus to tell my five brothers that they not come to this place. The man in hell didn't want those he cared about to join him there. No, it's not a place that you're going to rejoice because all your friends are there and you're going to have a big party. It is ultimately the lake of fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The word death means separation. Physical death is separation of the spirit from the body. Eternal death is separation of the spirit from God forever. That's Revelation 21:8. But Revelation 22:15 says, for without. What does it mean, without? It means left out of. And in this case, left out of the New Jerusalem. For without are dogs and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I don't want to get off course tonight, but I want to share something with you. Somebody questioned that. Says, well, for without are dogs. You mean dogs aren't allowed in heaven? Well, I don't want to get deeply into that, but just simply to tell you that that is not what it means here. That doesn't answer your question, I realize, but it's not what it means here. The idea of dogs here is actually a euphemism for people who are liars. But it's easier to understand than that. For without, left out of the New Jerusalem, without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Can you imagine loving a lie? Well, people do. They make up a lie and they love it. They love to perpetrate it. Let me give you another illustration of what I'm talking about. There are, in our world, deceivers, and there are people who are deceived. You take a religious cult, and by a religious cult, I'm meaning a religion that is formed usually around the teaching of one person, and usually strange and different than anything that we know and recognize as truth. The founders of religious cults know that what they're teaching is not true. And they will assemble around them an inner circle of people who know that what they're teaching is not true. But they perpetrate their lies, and those who come into that religion are not deceivers. Those at the upper echelon are deceivers, but those who come in are not deceivers. They are deceived. They don't know that they've been lied to. They think that they've been told the truth. Could you give me some examples of that? Sure. Fella comes up with the idea there is no hell. Oh, it doesn't exist. And he builds a whole religion around it. Why? Don't worry about it at all. In essence, you've got nothing to lose. Either you're going to work and you're going to be really good. You're going to be a really good person and you're going to have a place in God's kingdom because of your great service for him. Or if you're not a good person, or worse than that, if you just don't believe what I'm telling you at all, well, guess what? You're going to die, and the worst thing that could happen to you is you will just cease to exist. You'll be annihilated. You'll just cease to exist. There's no such thing as eternal hell and lake of fire and all that's nonsense. Well, a lot of people say, I'm into that. Sounds good. Because what have I got to lose? If I'm really good, I'm going to be in the kingdom. If I'm not quite that good, I'm not in the kingdom. And if I'm bad, I just cease to exist. So I won't be conscious of anything anyway. What is there to lose? I'll tell you what there is to lose. Your eternal soul. That's what there is to lose. But you see how carefully such lies can be crafted by the deceivers so that others are deceived. Now, I gave you one illustration of that. We could go on and on with similar illustrations where deceivers, those who love and make a lie, why do they do it? Well, quite often it is for they like to have power over other people. But in our country, I will tell you this, I've said this many times over the decades, and I'm stand by it. I've yet to have one person come to me and say, that's absolutely not true. If there is a religion, I don't mean a church, I don't mean even a denomination, but if there is a religion that had its origin in the United States of America, let me stop right there and say, I consider myself a very patriotic individual. But if there's a religion that had its origin in the United States of America, it was founded as a money-making proposition. And I've yet to have anybody come to me and say, well, that's not true. Well, I could give you evidence after evidence after evidence. There is one of the larger religions in our country that was, and I don't know if this is still the case, it may not be, but at one point in the 20th century, it was said to be the largest financial institution west of the Mississippi River. What's it called? There was another one we used to have years ago. I took the teen group from our church up to the West Palm Beach City Auditorium. We went there to hear Johnny Erickson Tata give her testimony. And she did, and it was a wonderful experience. But later, a religious cult bought that building and took it over. Bought the West Palm Beach City Auditorium. I don't remember what they paid for it, if I ever knew, but I guarantee you it was a lot of money. These organizations, these groups are started with the idea and the plan and purpose of making money. And in so many cases, they do. They make tremendous amounts of money. I could go on and on with this, give you illustration after illustration, but I think you've got the idea. And so, the lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. All liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Whosoever loveth and maketh a lie is without, outside, left out of the New Jerusalem, will not be there. And that's another thing that I want to share with you right now. You know the Lord is your Savior, and you step into eternity and you are with Him forever, there will not be a lie present. There won't be a liar present. There won't be anything but truth. It's been said, and this is not a Bible verse, and I don't want you to think that it is, but it's been said that all truth ultimately is God's truth. I have to agree with that. Because God is the author of truth. I remind you, I've already said it. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, and the next thing He said, I am the truth. Look at verse 20. Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, but to counselors of peace is joy. It's another great contrast. Lies come from the heart. John 8:44, Jesus was talking to the religious leaders of His day, and you know what He said to them? He said, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a liar from the beginning and the father of it. Wow. Telling the religious leaders of their day they are children of the devil, and that they do His work. And what work do they do? Is deceit, lying. The father of it. It comes from the heart. Good truth comes from the heart. Lie and deceit comes from the heart as well. And that's what it's telling us here in verse 20. Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil. Earlier in Proverbs, six chapters earlier, God says there's six things that He hates. The seventh one's an abomination. We're going to see that word again here in just a moment. But when you read the word abomination referring to God, you know what that means? It means it makes God sick. It's similar to the concept where Jesus says to the church at Laodicea, I would that thou wert cold or hot, but because thou art lukewarm, I will spew thee out of My mouth. That's what the word abomination means. You make God want to vomit. Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil. But the counselors, to the counselors of peace, there's joy. Lies come from the heart. Truth comes from the heart as well. Verse 21. There shall no evil happen to the just, but the wicked shall be filled with mischief. Now, it's not saying that if you're a righteous person, if you try to do what's right and you follow the Lord and you serve Him, you're never going to have a problem. Nothing bad's ever going to happen to you. Why, you can just drive down the road and not even pay attention because you'll never have an accident. It's not saying that. It's not what it's saying at all. What it's saying is that the evil of judgment will not come upon you. You need no not fear judgment if you are the person who is just. There shall no evil happen to the just. The word just there means the one who is righteous. Now, how are we righteous? We are declared righteous. We said it this morning. Righteousness is imputed to us. We receive Christ. We receive the righteousness of Jesus Christ. God no longer looks at us and sees our sin. He looks at us and sees the righteousness of his own Son. That's what the word just is. When the Bible calls somebody just, that's what it means. There shall no evil happen to the just, but the wicked shall be filled with mischief. The evil of judgment doesn't come upon those whose heart is true and whose words are true. Followers of the truth will have a final destination of peace and safety. The wicked shall continue on to more wickedness and ultimate destruction. Verse 22, and we're finished. Lying lips are abomination to the Lord. There's that word. I told you it was coming up. Lying lips make God sick. Lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. If you mark in your Bible, and if you don't, that's fine. A lot of people don't like to, and that's fine. No issue there. But if you're one of those people who do, I would underline the last part of verse 22. They that deal truly are his delight. Let us speak logically and reasonably. Let us speak and deal in truth. You and I need to be those who deal in truth. We need to be honest and upright. We need to be forthright in all that we do, all that we say. We ought to be the kind of people that if we tell somebody that, they're going to believe it, because they know we wouldn't lie about it. We used to have a man in our church here, W.A. Daniel. He was one of our deacons and great contributions to this church in so many different ways. But he used to put it this way, and some of you won't understand this analogy, but I think most of you will. He used to say, if I tell you that a rooster can plow, you can put the harness on him. Some of you get that, some of you won't, but what he's saying is, if I say it's true, it's true. And that's the way we ought to live. You know what the motto of our church is? What's the motto? I don't know, what's the motto with you? No, the motto of our church is, where the truth makes the difference. And that's what it ought to be. Where do we get the truth? Well, John 17:17, Jesus prayed to the Father and said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So God's word is truth. So we need to be proclaimers of the truth. Well, preacher, don't you think we could ever slip up? Sure. Yeah, we're human. We can all slip up. We're not talking about a slip up. We're talking about somebody who purposely lies. Jesus said, I am the truth. He said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Let me help you understand this. I'm not great at mathematics. I was talking to my wife about this earlier today. She is a teacher, and I asked her, I said, what's the highest level of math that you have taught? And she told me, and that was beyond me. So let's just stick to basic math, okay? Basic math. If you have two, and you have two, and you put them together, how many do you have? Four. Two add two is four. Okay? That is very simple, basic math, isn't it? And you can take any two objects and add any two objects of the same to them, or they don't have to be the same. They can be different. You'll still have four objects. If you take the number 5 and multiply it by 5, it will come out to be 25. If you take 25 and divide it by 5, it will come out to be 5. Every time. Every time. You know why? It's logical. It makes sense. It's in order. And that's your basic mathematics. And if that didn't work, we'd have a hard time running our society. You know, we've accepted certain things in our society, such as measurement. And if you have measurement, let's put it down where some of us live. If you have a 9/16 inch nut that you need to get off of a bolt and you have a half inch wrench, you're not going to turn it. It's not going to work. Oh, I'll get a bigger one. Get one that's a 1 inch wrench. No, you'll just sit over it and turn and nothing will happen. It has to be the exact same measurement. So 12 inches, a measuring stick that is 12 inches, we call a ruler, and another name for that is a what? What unit of measurement? A foot. So three of those comes to what we call a yard or yardstick, and that is how many inches? 36, 3 times 12, and it's always 3 times 12. Suppose they made yardsticks and some of them were 30 inches and some of them were 36 and some of them were 38. And maybe once in a while you get a bargain and buy one for the same price that was 40 inches. Would we have any standardization? No, none. You see, there's a mathematical and there's a logical order to what is real and what is truth. We live in a day when things are said that are illogical. People say, well, truth is not reality. What's truth for you may not be truth for me. No, I'm sorry, that's incorrect. What is truth is truth. It's not my truth and your truth. It is just truth. Well, truth is not what I want it to be. Well, that's quite often the case. Quite often, to be quite frank with you, truth is not what I want it to be. That doesn't change the fact that it's truth. Well, truth is what I choose it to be. It's what I perceive it to be. No, we don't get to choose what is true and what isn't. It's true whether we choose it to be or not. It's true whether we perceive it to be or not. Well, if I perceive it to be true, then I think it's true, then for me it's true. No, it isn't. I told this here many times before, but I'm going to tell it again because it fits. My wife and I, years ago, were sitting at our dinner table, and there was a lady seated at the table, and she was trying to sell us something. And she was a fairly good salesperson. She made her sales pitch. And then she told me, she says, you know, I create my own reality. And I did not say this to her. I did not voice this out loud. But you know what I was thinking when she said, I create my own reality? I thought, well, create the reality of this sale because it's not happening. You see, that doesn't work, does it? We don't get to create our own reality. Well, there's virtual reality. If it's not reality, it's not reality. Truth must follow a logical, understandable order. It must be demonstrable. It must have a standard. If there's no standard, no logic, no reason, then there is no truth. Those of us who profess to be followers of Him who is the truth must be people of truth, and that simply is logical. We're going to follow the truth. We must be people of the truth. So we need to pray to the Lord that we will speak truth from the heart and that truth will be known to others and that we will be known as people who speak truth. And ladies and gentlemen, again, this is somewhat conceptual, but it's a concept that we need. It's a concept that we need today because there's so much deceit and lies are pervasive. We need to return to understanding what is truth. Once again, we'll close with John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's no other way. There's no compromise. There's no alternate truth. There's no my truth and your truth. There is Him who is truth. We need to place our faith and trust in him. We need to follow him. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for blessing us. Lord, help us to be people who know and recognize truth. Help us to be people who live by truth. Help us to be people who share truth. Help us to be the people of Jesus Christ. Forgive us our failures. And help us, Lord, always to come back to you. Help us to shine the light of truth that others may see and turn to Jesus Christ. Our heads bowed, our eyes are closed. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation. I simply say this, the altar's here if you need it. Father, bless and move now. In Jesus' name, amen.